Japanese whiskey has become a prized possession among serious whiskey collectors, which has caused the prices to skyrocket. But are they worth the money? Mm. If you want to hear about it, then stick around.
Welcome into the world-famous Bourbon Real Talk Studios. We are live right here in the wonderful state of Texas, the Lone Star State, coming to you in your, wherever you're watching us.
Yeah, it can be anywhere.
And this wouldn't be possible without the faithful support of our patrons. So we've got to start the episode out with thanking you guys. You are the real MVPs of this show. Mm-hmm. We cannot be here. We cannot be filming. We cannot do this without you. And speaking of patrons, we've got one right here with us. Mm-hmm. In studio, Chris is here hanging out with us. So that's just one of the benefits of being a patron. You can come and hang out in the studio if you're local. But there's other benefits too, right? There's bonus content that you get, special offers, distillery takeovers. There's barrel picks that we do, in-person meetups, virtual bottle shares. The list goes on and on and on. And not to mention the best part, the discounts on merch, right? Mm-hmm. All the cool merch at bourbonrealtalk.com. You get a discount on, and you get to know about new stuff coming there before anyone else does. So it's a win-win for everybody. It's not just a one-way street. It's not just a donation. So if you are not supporting the channel financially, that's a way you can do it. Go to the link in the description, check out the Patreon options. And if nothing else, just like and subscribe to the page, guys. Sure. That's an easy, free way to support what's going on here at Bourbon Real Talk.
Absolutely. So Chris, what has been your favorite Patreon benefit?
My favorite benefit by far has been the distillery takeovers.
Yeah.
It's such a great time. You meet so many people. You get to hang out with other Patreons. You have folks that fly in from different states to come participate in this. And it truly is a tight-knit community when you think about it.
That's awesome.
Supporting each other. And this is one way that me as a Patreon member can kind of give back to that community. I get to support this page, which has its way of supporting the community. It's awesome. That's been my favorite. And there's so many other things that have been awesome.
That's cool.
All right, well, we're going to talk about Japanese whiskey today.
Which I know nothing about.
Real quick disclaimer, everyone's palate's different. So you may not necessarily agree with everything that we're saying here. One thing that I found interesting as I did some research. So you all know that there are some areas that spell whiskey with an E and some areas that spell it without an E.
Right.
So one of the things that I've learned recently is that the plural form of whiskeys, when the area spells it without an E, is W-H-I-S-K-I-E-S.
Okay.
Okay.
But in areas that spell whiskey with the E, it's W-H-I-S-K-E-Y-S.
Really?
Yes. Huh. Yeah. Because I was the other day, I was writing whiskey's plural, and I was like, wait, which way? And then the E and no E thing came up, and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Japanese whiskey must be fermented, distilled, aged, and bottled in Japan.
Mm.
Okay. And it must use some portion of malted grain in its mash.
Okay.
Or it can't be called Japanese whiskey. So those are the rules. And the water source also has to be Japan.
Okay.
And so those are pretty geographic restrictive requirements because most spirits don't have a geographical restriction on aging location. It's mostly about production. And so for them to get that specific, I thought that was interesting.
Another disclaimer that I'll go ahead and throw out here is I know next to nothing about Japanese whiskey.
Okay.
So this is all straight up just
this
from
is
a
gonna
novice
be,
standpoint. Yeah. Any of my opinions that I might throw out during this episode are completely novice. I'm not very well versed.
And this is going to be really my first broad experience with it.
Really? Okay.
I can say I do own a bottle of Japanese whiskey, and I've probably had two pours out of it in the last 8 years.
Mm.
So when you're having a discussion about whether or not this really expensive whiskey is worth it, maybe the opinions of people who don't drink it all the time are the
right
most
here.
Valuable.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about Japanese whiskey. So commercial production of Japanese whiskey started in 1923, although there's some evidence that they were distilling whiskey back around 1870.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. in terms of commercial production. Okay. It wasn't until 1923 when a guy whose name I cannot pronounce studied whiskey production in Scotland, and then he brought those skills back to Japan.
Okay.
And the entire objective of Japanese whiskey has been to produce a product that was like Scotch whiskey.
Okay, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
So it's not like the United States where we have our own unique thing or like some regional deal, like, you know, Colorado whiskey doesn't taste like Texas whiskey. They were purposely trying to mimic Scotch.
All right.
Okay. Another thing you need to know about Japanese whiskey is that they have access to a special type of oak tree called Mizunara. Mm. And it is native to Japan, and it translates to water oak.
Ooh,
which,
okay.
Understanding that this type of oak cellular structure retains more water than like American oak or French oak, mm-hmm. helps you understand why it is more interesting as an aging vessel for whiskey. And it's because that cellular structure allows the whiskey to extract flavor compounds out of the whiskey more easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's known for imparting flavors like sandalwood, coconut, and honey.
Mm.
And it is controlled by the Japanese government. And there's only a handful. At one point, I saw there's only 56 people in the world that are licensed to work with Mizunara oak into barrels.
Oh, wow. Okay, okay, cool.
And so I don't know if you remember, but when we went to, I don't know if you were there when we went to Rabbit Hole, but we met mm-hmm. We met the founder, Kaveh Zamanyan. He had some Mizunara oak that he had brought in, and he waited for 2.5 years to get those barrels. They were $4,000 a piece.
Wow.
A normal oak barrel is, the price has gone up, but it used to be like around $200.
Right, yeah.
Right? And so...
That's significant.
So there's, you're talking about a significant increase in price, and that's because the trees yield less wood. The trees are a little bit more twisted and things like that. And because of their higher water content, they have to dry for 3 years. Most American oak is aged for about 6 months. So it takes six times as long to dry the oak out as other oak species. And it is considered by some to be the world's most flavorful oak. So some of what we're going to taste has some Mizunara influence in it, and that's something significant about Japanese. So what I thought we'd do is we take my three high-end Japanese pours that I have,
mm-hmm.
And we would taste them up and give notes and maybe draw some conclusions as to whether or not these whiskeys are worth the hunt. They're worth their really high price.
Sure. Okay.
So the first whiskey that we have is Yamazaki Single Malt, and it is a 12-year product. And Yamazaki was the first commercial distillery in Japan. That's the one that opened up in 1923.
Mm, okay.
Is that the one on our left here?
This is. Yep, that's okay, on the left. And they're displayed on the counter in the order that they're in the glass.
Okay.
The second glass has Shin Malt Whiskey, or Shin, hold on, let me say it right. It has the Shin Malt Whiskey Mizunara Japanese Oak Finished 15-year-old.
Wow.
Okay.
And the difference in the Shin is they are not a distiller, they are a blender. And so they buy their barrels from other distilleries and they blend to the flavors that they think represent their brand well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why they are not a single malt, they are just a malt whiskey because it's not from a single distillery. And in your third glass, we have 12-year Hakushu single malt, which we should notice a slight smoky flavor to it because it is lightly peated, the way that a Scotch whiskey can be peated. And for those of you who don't know what peat is, in Scotland, the Vikings cut down all the trees to make ships a long, long time ago. Whiskey production started up. There weren't any oak trees for them to use. And any trees to use as a heat source, and you got to get the grain wet, it starts to germinate, you dry it out so it doesn't grow into a plant, and that's what converts the starches into sugars. And the way they dry it out in Scotland is with flammable mud called peat moss.
Yeah.
Okay. And and if you're going to mimic Scotch, you might have some peated options, and that's what this Hakushu is. So that's what we're tasting. So I figure we can just go through the tasting and kind of rank them up and tell everybody what our thoughts are. You know, we can do it together.
Because
it's not like it's a blind. So
yeah, we know which ones to wear.
We know what's what.
There's two of these three I've not tasted before. So
the Yamazaki on the nose.
Yeah,
very fruity.
It's got a little bit, this is gonna sound insane, okay, but it's got a little bit of that fruity Flintstone vitamin note that I get from Dickel.
Yeah, and I'm getting straight up apple juice.
Which apple, is, oh yeah, yeah.
So I get like apple and pear.
Yeah.
Like I would a typical scotch of that age, you know, about that 12 year mark, 12 to 15 years.
Doesn't taste like apple juice, but it certainly smells like it to me.
No, got a lot of malt flavors. There's a little bit of a pepper note between the mid palate and the finish.
Okay. I can get that. I can get down with that.
Mm-hmm.
Feels thin.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit thin.
We are just coming fresh off of blind with 120 proof. <That's true. laughs> Everything's thin right
yeah.
now. But.
Yeah, some of our, and as a lot of high-end single malt scotches go, I believe that the first and third are at 86 proof. And then the second bottle is at 96 proof.
Okay.
That's going to be one of the themes that we're going to see in Japanese whiskey is it's a little bit lower proof on average than what we'd see from a premium offering in the United States.
Okay.
So that is the one I do have on my shelf at home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to an awesome viewer and supporter of the show who's stationed over in Japan sent me a bottle, and it's fantastic.
That's
so good.
That's awesome.
And so I like it because just to have something different when you're just kind of in the mood for something that's just nothing like bourbon, this is kind of where I go.
Well, it fits that bill when you want something light, like maybe in the summertime when you don't want that heavy high proof pour and it's 105 out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I find myself going to these the scotches or the Irish.
And that fruitiness to it really makes it like a refreshing kind of
absolutely.
Sip, you know?
Yeah. Would you do it on ice?
I probably would, yeah.
I'd throw a cube in there, or a little 2-inch round ball.
Yeah, something that's not going to dilute it too fast.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm testing my new whiskey glass that I had designed.
Why?
Well, there's a company out there that's a real Karen, and she threatened to sue us.
Really? You don't say.
Yeah, so we had been producing some traditional tulip-shaped whiskey glasses.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
We never used the name.
Right, of course.
But they claimed to own the shape of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm just a little guy, I couldn't fight.
Right.
But do you know what that motivated us to do, Wes?
What?
To go out and design a glass that was actually made for high-proof American spirits. So the company that had the problem with us, their glass was originally designed for low-proof Scotch whiskey.
Oh, okay.
80, 86 proof, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And you know what I had noticed? Every time I would nose a really high-proof, high-quality spirit in the United States out of this glass, all I got was ethanol burn.
Yeah, a little burn there. I felt that.
And so we went out and we designed this glass that's actually designed for those higher-proof spirits. And I'm so confident in this glass that if anybody were to go to our website and buy one, I'm offering a money-back guarantee.
Wow.
If you get that glass to your house and you find yourself one of these traditional tulip-shaped glasses and you nose a high-proof spirit side by side and you can't tell the difference, I will gladly give you your money back.
So what you're saying is they can really stick it to the Karen and support the little guy by going to bourbonrealtalk.com and ordering one of these with absolutely no risk. They could get their money back if they don't prefer it, nosing it to the other?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you love small business and you like sticking it to Karens, that's the way to go.
Stick it to Karen. BourbonRealTalk.com.
Cheers. All right, let's move on to the Shin 15 year.
Oh, this one is a lot more smoky. And
There's definitely more on the nose there.
Yeah. Hmm. Much bolder profile.
This
tastes more like a scotch to me than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of scotch, I'm not great at the regions, like which one it would be, but.
Yeah.
It's definitely got a peaty smokiness to it to me.
Yeah, so the 15 year is a blend, but it is finished in that Mizanara oak. And so I would expect to get a little bit more of that honey flavor. A little bit of sweetness. Anybody getting coconut because they say that's a flavor, and really? I have a hard time picking up coconut on whiskey.
Well, there's two different kinds of coconut. That's the thing that always throws me off. Are we talking like the little flakes that's on top of like a pie? Mm-hmm. Or are we talking like you cracked open a coconut and drinking coconut water with the skin, you know?
Yeah.
Because those are way different
the
flavors.
True meat part of the coconut for me always, for me personally, imparts a strong vanilla bean flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm getting some of that in here, so maybe that's the coconut.
They said sandalwood was also a possibility.
And I've never eaten sandalwood, but
I've never
eaten. It's one of Lindsay's favorite scents, and she just bought sandalwood spray from Indian Allison's admin of Bourbon Real Talk community. They just took us to San Miguel de Allende, Mexico, where her mother has a shop that sells sprays and lotions and all that stuff. And we bought some sandalwood spray. And I could say that I get a hint of it in here.
Okay.
It might come across to you as a peppery note, but it's a little bit more of a sweet woodiness.
I'm picking up peat in there for sure.
Yeah, that's what I keep getting.
I think that there's probably at least some peated whiskey in this blend. Although I didn't do a ton of research of what all went into this release. I would suspect based on flavor that there's at least some peat influence.
Very peat sensitive when it comes to scotches. I'm not a fan of like the Islay scotches and whatnot. Just it's too much for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I drink one of these scotches that are blends, I can always pick out one that seems to have a peat in it.
A little bit of peat, yeah. And
this one's good though.
I'm the comedy rule of threes on peat. So the comedy rule of threes is you make a joke, half the crowd laughs. You make the same joke the second time, no one laughs. You make the same joke the third time, everyone laughs.
Okay.
That's how peat works for me. You put a little peat in there, I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing. You put a little bit more, I'm like, what are you doing? You put a whole lot more, and I'm like, all right, I'm in. You know, yeah. So I love Octomore, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But something like a Lagavulin 16, I like to smell it, but I don't like to drink it. Mm-hmm. You know, but Akintoshin, it's got a real slight peat to it. I like it. And I think this falls more in the Akintoshin category.
Yeah, where, it's slight, but it's definitely there.
It's more, it's just a peat flavor.
Would, if I had a bottle of this at home, I would not.
Not that this tastes like Akintoshin.
No, no.
But I'm saying the peat, level of peat influence.
It's, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
So.
Let's go to three.
Okay.
All right.
This is the Hakushu 12-year. Hakushu is made by the same distillery as Yamazaki, although they own multiple distilleries and they're in different geological zones. And this is a mountainous region. And so the aging environment is very different here. And I'm told that this one is peated as well.
It's got quite a bit more peat on it.
Okay. I'm going to throw out. That's the first thing I noticed. I'm going to throw out something. This tastes exactly like to me. Okay.
Okay.
Sometimes if I do drink whiskey on ice.
Okay.
And I let that ice cube dissolve all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget about it. I go back and I take a sip of it. This is what it tastes like. An old ice cube with a little bit of whiskey. An old, like a little freezer burnish ice cube with a little bit of whiskey to
it. The one that fell, it's in the way back. It's misshapen.
Yeah. Mm. And it's just like, it's diluted the whole thing. This is just very, very light. You can see it's very light.
To me, the peat overshadows all of the other notes on this particular whiskey.
I feel like there's some fruit that's sticking out in that. I'm getting a little bit of that apple juice component, but it's like if you took your glass of apple juice and then you put your smoker on it.
Yep.
And if you smoked a glass of apple juice, I could see that.
You smoke the glass and then you pour about two double parts of water in there with it.
Yeah.
Then.
It's not that watered down to me, but I get what he's saying. It's a lot thinner than what we normally drink.
Right, yeah. It's just, I'm not a big thin guy.
I wouldn't stock a bottle of that one at home.
Okay, that's fair.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's too similar to the first one, except just if this is what did you say, it was an 86 proof,
mm-hmm.
the first one, and this is like a 40 proof, then I'm like, okay, this one is the same proof?
They're both 86.
So this one tastes like it's half the proof of the first, so I just stock the first. It's like a lot of the similar flavors.
Well, except, before we go saying that, let's talk about how much they cost.
Okay, that may be a difference maker because we haven't talked price yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm curious because.
So if you're thinking if you're going to buy one of these, you'd get the Yam 12.
If I had to choose between these two, I would go with the Yam 12 because.
Would you go with the Shin above the Yam?
Probably not personally because I just don't like an overly peated type flavor.
Well,
and I'd agree with that.
If you love peat, don't think that the Shin 15's got a ton.
No,
it's not. No, it's very subtle.
It's subtle. But all right, so the Yam 12, Yamazaki 12. Now keep in mind, I used to get these on the secondary market for a friend of mine, and we'd pay $100 on the secondary for Yamazaki 12 and $400 on the secondary for Yamazaki 18.
Really?
And now the retail price of Yam is for the 12 year is $215 at total. Wow.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so are you a buy or pass at $215?
I'm going to pass on that.
I'm a pass.
You're a pass. All right. The second bottle, which was that pretty much everyone's second favorite? Or
Yeah, I'd say so.
I would agree.
I would say they're in my order, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Mm-hmm. The second bottle, the Shin malt whiskey, 15-year-old. Retails at $120.
Okay. I'd be a buyer.
I'd just get one at least, you know?
I might have one to hold on to. So when I do have a scotch drinker that comes to the house, that I have some more offerings for them. I personally am probably not going to be sipping from that bottle a few times a year, but I could conceivably hold on to it to share.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. If you're the type of person that stocks whiskey that's not for your palate and maybe the quality price ratio is not there for you, but you want it for somebody else, I could kind of see paying $120. And then the third bottle, everyone's third favorite, was $165.
Okay.
At retail, are you a buyer? Pass at $165, Wes.
I'm gonna pass on the sugar water for $15.
Chris,
I'm gonna pass on the peat.
I'm a pass as well.
Sorry, Japan. No disrespect, no. Man.
So I would say, in conclusion, we learned that, in general, the Japanese whiskeys are lower proof for the premium releases. The grains produce a drastically different flavor than what you're used to. If you're a bourbon drinker or a rye whiskey drinker, the body is lighter. But if you love scotch, then you may appreciate these whiskeys a little bit more. If you have just gotten into the bourbon game and you're still really susceptible to all the hype that's out there, and you're hearing about these bottles and how they're worth a bunch of extra money on the secondary, and you're thinking about spending your money, I would say it's probably a pass for you, and unless you know what it is that you're doing.
Right.
So anyways, we should do a giveaway.
Let's do it.
What should we just do? Let's do two... one-ounce sample packs of these whiskeys.
Sounds good.
Let somebody else try them.
And that way you can do your own taste test at home.
Yeah.
We're going to do 2 one-ounce sample packs. And the way that you get in, Wes, do you want to tell them how they get in?
Yeah, there's a few things you need to do. And none of these are going to be difficult. So tune in here and listen. First thing you need is you need to subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to Bourbon Real Talk yet, not sure what you're waiting on.
What are you doing with your life?
It's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
It's been there a long time.
We've been around. It's great information. And sometimes we're funny, but not very often.
Yeah.
We try. So you need to subscribe. You need to ring the bells. Make sure you get filled in on when new episodes drop. And we want you to comment below. Japanese whiskey. Comment Japanese whiskey below. So that way we know that you're entering to
win. Or comment on the video. It doesn't have to be Japanese whiskey. Okay. But if you have something to say, say it. If you don't have anything to say, just say Japanese whiskey.
Yeah, comment below. Just let us know that you're looking to enter the giveaway. And then, there's going to be a link in the description to the giveaway where you need to just give us some basic information. So that way, if you win, we can get you the bottle.
Yeah, and we'd also like you to like the video as well.
Sure.
So if you can like and subscribe, that'd be great. Now let's talk about how you can support this channel. We already talked about Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how there's a link in the video description. Mm-hmm. We also sell a lot of really awesome whiskey merch. And if you go to bourbonrealtalk.com, we have glasses, carriers, bottle carriers. We've got lanyards. We've got whiskey aroma kit. We've got t-shirts and all kinds of stuff. Everything that you need for your whiskey enjoyment experience. And that's not the only way, though, Patreon and merch. Wes and I know each other from real estate, too, and I'm a real estate agent, so if you need residential real estate services in Dallas or the Houston metro area, just know that if you hire me, I give epic closing bottle gifts.
I'm talking
Van Winkles, BTACs, all kinds of great stuff, and your real estate company, Wes, is Tormax.
Tormax is a real estate media company, so we support real estate agents in marketing the properties. So if you're a real estate agent in DFW and you need epic photos of your listings and video or drone services or anything like that, Tormax Media is your place. As far as whiskey apparel, I do have a whiskey t-shirt company online, whiskeythread.com. You can go check it out, buy shirts like this one, Whiskey Trolls Are Dumb.
And I own one of your shirts.
Yeah, he's got the
great shirt.
The barbecue bullets and bourbon shirt, right?
Love it. My wife bought it for me as a gift.
Yeah. So go on there. We've got all kinds of funny t-shirts and whiskey swag there. So between bourbonrealtalk.com, whiskeythread.com, all of your whiskey apparel needs are right there.
Well, we got another option for you too. Wes owns a physical store that's in Burleson, Texas called Old Town Provisions. And it took me a while to wrap my head around what the store was, but it's like everything manly. It's like a gentleman's dry goods store. You got like handmade knives, handmade leather bags, rub for barbecue, specialty beef jerkies, flavored like sunflower seeds. And when you go in, you get to drink beer or whiskey while you're shopping.
Yep.
They got clothing, they've got hats, they've got bags for your cooler bags. You got like everything that's like cool and manly. So if you're a woman out there, you're looking for something good for a man in your life, or if you're a guy and you just want to like think of all the stuff that you're like, man, that'd be cool. He's got that. Like he's got a kitchen knife that looks like a meat cleaver.
Yep.
Right? Like he's got all kinds of cool stuff. So. Yeah. So that's how you can support the show. If this is your first time tuning in, we'd like to thank you for the view and let you know a little bit about our show philosophy, because we are all about bringing people together around whiskey. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's personally important to me, because I did lose my brother to suicide in 2014. He was a veteran, and as a lot of veterans do, he struggled with his injuries whenever he got out of the service. And over time, he kind of alienated and lost a lot of the connections in his life, and I believe that that helped lead to his demise. And I want to help people not lose those connections and not feel alienated, and I saw whiskey bringing people together. And so I thought, maybe if I could get you connected to whiskey through this channel, the whiskey would do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. And along those lines, Wes convinced me to start Bourbon Real Talk Community, which is a free Facebook-based online whiskey forum. You can get connected with other people. There's a lot of generosity and sharing that goes on in there. And all of that helps facilitate relationships. So we would invite you to go over there. And we knew we had to do it, because when you look around, there's a lot of negativity on the internet and whiskey enthusiasts and other enthusiast communities. Lots of trolls. And everywhere. Yeah. And so those trolls, they taught us something, though. Not only did we need to create a troll-free environment like Bourbon Real Talk Community, but they also taught us that if somebody can hate you online, somebody else who chose to do so could love you online. And that's why we end every show the same way. And that's this. If you woke up this morning and you were unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that we love you. And we'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers. Cheers.